it worked. Some of what I picked out to use today was count it all joy. And there are many times in life that things transpire that you didn't anticipate. And in all honesty, it's a little hard to count it all joy. John, would you like to open a word of prayer for us, please?
All right, Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for you to be here this morning to hear your word. Father, just pray that our hearts be receptive and study that word, not just hear it, but have it penetrate our hearts, Lord, that you may dwell on it. Father, we just also, again, pray for Pastor and family, Ray, Pastor, and Bad Hand, Father. We thank you for the answered prayers that we have. Well, thank you for our message this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, John. The first set of scripture that I would like to look at, you can open your Bibles up if you want to John 15. And we'll first look at verses 11 through 15. So John 15, 11 through 15. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, and if ye do whatsoever I commandeth you, henceforth I call you not servants, for servants knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. So when this starts out, one of the first things that stands out is, this is my commandment. This is not an option. We're commanded. When if I was an officer in the Army and I say to my sergeant, this is what I want you to do. Go down there and strike that particular group of area. It's a commandment. It's not an option. It's not a choice. God is not giving us a way out. He says, this is what I want you to do. It's a commandment. To love one another as I have loved you. Now, there are a lot of things in life that go on. Maybe we get irritated with family members. We may get irritated with friends in a church. But that doesn't mean we still can't and shouldn't love one another. You remember how many times the Lord has forgiven us for things that we do. There's a lot. Every day we sin against God. And then years ago I used to use the expression, well, I made a mistake. No, it's not. My wife would remind me. No, it's not a mistake. You just sinned. It's just that blunt. And it's true. Verse 13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that the man lay down his life for his friends. What's the example? The Lord laid down his life for us. He paid the price for the sins that we have committed. He didn't have to. The interesting thing, which I think as you grow older and you start to think about things, God knew this from the beginning. Why didn't he just create this different and say, well, they're not going to sin. I'm not going to let them do what Satan did. You're going to behave yourselves. He didn't. He gave us a choice. And I like to think that the reason he gave us a choice was because Satan had the choice too. He could be just like the good angels and do what he should have been doing. Instead, he said, no, I'm going to be like the Most High. I'm equal to God. I think God gave each one of us that same choice. To make a choice in life, do you want to love me and serve me, Or do you want to do your own thing? You can have it your way. This kind of sounds like Burger King, right? Have it your way. But he commanded us to love one another. Now, how many times does or do your friends or your spouse irritate you? Many of us here that are left here are now married. There are a good many times we might say something that we didn't intend it to be a little terse, but that's how it came out. And I know as a husband, I will say something at times. And I didn't intend it to be mad. She took it a different way. And she got upset with me. And then you know how it goes. Either you'll get a fast reaction or there'll be a long stew for a while. And I'm the same way. My wife will tell you that if she irritates me, I clam up. And I just don't talk. We all have our differences, but that doesn't excuse us to love one another. We're to forgive one another. I see Tim over here smiling, and probably young friends over here do the same thing.
Sam and I.
Sam and I? Okay. Brothers do that too. Kind of a sidebar. My brother and sister, I have a sister and another brother, and we liked to pick on each other when we were in school many moons ago. And my mother always planned to be at home when we came home from school. She stayed at home, but one day she was gone. And we got off the bus, and I ran to the house. I was the oldest one. I got there quick, got in the door, shut the door, and locked it. Anybody ever try that one? You don't want to. My sister came up to the door and she goes bang, bang, bang. Well, there was this beautiful etched glass window that was in that door that now laid on the floor. Irreplaceable. And somebody wasn't happy when they got home. I like to pick on my brother and sister. My brother and I used to be in a room together until we got into arguing upstairs on the bed and he got banged into the window. He didn't go out of it, but after that I had my own room. Dad decided, this got to break this off. Love one another. One of the things about being a Christian is that we are adopted into God's family. We are now, in a sense, a brothers and sisters to the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have the same function, but we're adopted. He's the Son of God. We are now adopted sons and daughters of God. We have a relationship. It is a privilege because we made a choice of accepting God or the Lord Jesus Christ by doing it his way. In other words, and I made a lot of notes for a lot of things, and I've changed and changed and changed. But one of the things is there is a process to being saved. One is a sincere attitude of repentance. And another one is the acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the next comes probably one of the harder things in life once you're saved, born again Christian, is the process of sanctification. It requires a change in attitude, a change in behavior, a change in appearance. There are a lot of changes. We're no longer, as verse 15 says, therefore I call you not servants, for a servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth. If you're not saved, you don't know what the Lord is doing, what God is doing. But I have called you friends. Now, isn't that a unique privilege to be called a friend of God? A friend is somebody that looks out for each other. We have friends in this church. If something goes wrong, I hear from Sharon, she'll say, okay, Mrs. Haynes went in the hospital. Or she called and says, there's a prayer request for this. That's a friend that cares. Now, I know that all of the rest of you have connections. So I'm just using Sharon's example because she's a connection to me. Okay? I know the rest of you have connections, family. It is a privilege to be part of a family, especially part of a family of God. The verse, and I stopped at that. I don't want to go any further on that one. Let's look at John 16 and verses 19 through 24. I'm trying to keep myself on track here. John 16, 19 through 24. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him and said unto them, Do ye inquire amongst yourselves of that I said, A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again, a little while, and ye shall see me. And that is a question. He's posing a question to them. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Again, that word, joy. Verse 21, a woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your young heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Well, there's several thoughts that I see that are going on here. I look at the time that we live in, and we're anticipating the return of the Lord, which will be a joyous time, because we're not going to be faced with the trials that we're living with on this earth, but there will be weeping and lament. This is kind of like leading up to when, for the ladies, when you first have your child, baby, the last part of the pregnancy, usually the last 2 months, most will say, it is terrible. You're carrying around this extra weight. You got the anticipation, but it is very unpleasant as you work through it. And this is kind of like what we're going through right now in this world. There is a lot of sorrow. There's a lot of things going on. You look at, and I can't fathom the storm, fire storms, what have you, that are going on in California, where literally a whole town was wiped out. There have been, I think the last I heard, between 60 and 70 people have died. They have almost over 500 that are missing. I can't fathom this. There's a lot of sorrow. We've just been through an election season that is, I would say, pretty brutal. And I think it's worse than I've ever remembered in the younger years. But if we think about this, if, and I believe the rapture is close, if I'm right, and I have no insight, the only one that knows this is God the Father. Even the Lord Jesus Christ did not know when the rapture was going to happen. But if I watch and look, I might come to that conclusion that maybe it's close. Now that causes us to, one, to have joy to know, boy, this grief is going to be over soon. We won't have all this fighting and bickering and backbiting. We'll get along with each other like we never did fight or argue. So that'll be a great time. Just like the woman thinking, I'm going to have this baby. You're looking with great anticipation to have your baby. Whether it's a son or daughter, you're still great anticipation. But there's a time of having to wait, and that's the time that we're in now. We're still charged with, just as the lady is charged with carrying that child to the end, we're charged with as Christians to live it out to the end. And when the title was Count It All Joy, I can tell you there are a lot of times you don't count it all joy. And I may share some things that I went through this last week. I didn't count it all joy. And quite frankly, I got very upset. And I got a little mad. And I'm sure that as ladies are carrying babies, there's getting time that, man, I wish this was over. The back pain would go away. You know, this burden, and I'm not saying it's terrible, but let's face it, you get a basketball in front of you that weighs more than 8 pounds, it's a draw on your back, draw on everything. Your emotions are bothering you. This is the way life is. But the Lord is also in the verse 22 saying, and this is a red letter, so we know the Lord is speaking this, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. When we're saved, there is not a person in this world that can truly take the joy of your salvation away. You are secure in that. Let's flip to Philippians 2. Philippians 2, and I tried to put these somewhat in order, so it's easier just working back. Philippians 2, verses 1 through 4. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, the term consolation means comfort. If there's any comfort in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels, and mercies. Now, bowels or could be affection, it could be compassion. Fill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Again, this comes back to an attitude of humility. Remember, we didn't create ourselves. We know that the Bible teaches that God knew us from the foundations of time. So he is the one that did the creating. He had a purpose in us. He wanted us to be happy, even though he knew there is going to be a lot of sorrow on this earth living here. But we can still count hardships with joy. This last week, I had the experience of we've struggled all year long. Most farms are struggling, but we had it worse than most for various reasons, and I'm not going to go into it. But it gets very tedious when you wonder, where's the money coming from? And the pastor, about 3 months ago, made a comment, I don't think any of you realize what it's like to have just $10. Well, I can tell you there are two people that sat over there that kind of chuckled in our hearts. Now, we shouldn't do that, but I'll tell you, it wasn't 10. We had $15 between two checking accounts. And we had that for about a month, 6 weeks at one point, not knowing where on earth this money is coming from, because we were living with a disaster. And I've lived with a disaster for 25 years, just about. And in all honesty, you know, I can say I don't count it all joy. But I'm still able to do what I want to do. There are a good many times it could have been wiped out, taken away, and yet the Lord has protected us. And I look at the example of that I heard of the story of missionaries going down the road, and some native cannibals came out, and they were known for killing people. And they were indiscriminate. And yet they stopped, looked at them for a little while, these missionaries, and then turned around and walked away. A number of years later, the Lord had worked on those cannibals, heathen, and got some of them saved. And the missionary met up with them and he said, "Why didn't you kill us?" Have you ever heard this story? The heathen said, "Now saved, didn't you see the angel standing in front of him?" With what I've been through the last few years, there are times that I actually think there are angels standing in the road protecting us from the world. Can't see them, but it's not easy. And I know that every one of you go through something. You know, I have my uniqueness. Each one of you have your uniqueness. I know Chris worrying about, you know, job. How do I take care of my family? Melinda's worrying about her grandson. You know, Eric, John and Sharon have children that they worry about. I'm going to have troubles with names. Jim, granddaughter, lives up in back of me, trying to farm in this farm climate that is horrible. And she had some of the same problems I had, with problems with electric. And she had the same problems. Only thing is, she gave up and decided it just wasn't worth it. Now, if I was in my right mind, but I'm fifth generation, so I'm stupid, I just keep trying, you know. But I also put my faith in God that he's going to see me through. And I think of the example of the man that was bloodied and beaten and left for dead in the ditch. And many times I think some of you feel that way. You've been abandoned by your friends. Even though many of them are here at church, but even church friends, sometimes you'll feel abandoned. Sometimes you may feel your neighbors have abandoned you. Or maybe because problems you feel, as I said to my one neighbor this last week, some of what's been going on, I find it terribly embarrassing. Because things just look a disarray. It's hard to count it all joy. But I still look to the examples put in the Word of God of this man that was bloodied and beaten and left for dead. And the example there is, one person came along, and I believe both of these were probably church-type people. But yet the first one went to the other side of the road. I don't want to get involved. I've had times in my life when I came by something and said, "I'm not going to get involved." The next one came along and was nice and said, "I'll pray for you." Now that's good. But I will tell you, there are times in life, and there's another example in the Bible, that it's nice to pray for somebody, but if they need food, they need food. And I didn't say I was needing food. But I've known of instances where somebody needed food. And I know in my case, I was struggling, but I had food. And I gave them food. And I'm not bragging about it, but I'm trying to use this as an example because these are things that I've experienced in life. That person needed food then. It's hard to count it all joy. Especially in this time with so much turmoil, we still have something to look forward to. We're going to heaven. And one day this is going to be all over. And I don't know what heaven's going to be like. All I know is there isn't going to be sorrow and tears. And I don't understand what it's going to be like praising God all that day long. I don't understand that one either. But it's got to be better than the way it's going down here. Verse 3 says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowness of mind. Let each esteem others better than themselves." In agriculture, I have seen agriculture go from a lot of small farms to right now, quite frankly, there are very few small farms, and they're all big. And I will tell you, it is hard to sit there sometimes and look and say, how does that person do it? $13 to $14 milk per 100 is the equivalent of a $2 an hour minimum wage, because that's what it was. That's stressful. I know of some other farms that are really good farms that have worked hard to get out of debt, and they don't know how they're going to make it, but they're just trying to keep going. I'm a farmer, I can relate to farming. Some of you can relate to the fact that how hard it's been to get a job and with inflation to have a fair price for wages. How am I going to pay my bills? Again, I have to count it all joy. The Lord is allowing us to go through things. Why? Why should I count it all joy? About 3 weeks ago now, I think, as time is running on, I had a neighbor that I didn't hear about it initially. It happened on a Sunday. It was probably latter part of that same week. I found out, because I don't generally go into Rushford, I go Belfast way. Just happened to go to the bank in Rushford, and a person said, did you hear about your neighbor that had a car accident? And they were both taken to Warsaw, and he was mercy flighted into Buffalo. She had broken ribs, he had a broken sternum, and he was having some sort of issue with an aneurysm, is what I heard. Well, I attempted to stop in to see about a week later how they were doing. Well, she wasn't home because she was still going to the hospital. So I didn't find anything out there and asked another neighbor, and they knew a little bit, but not a lot. And finally, this past week, I stopped in because I had heard that they were home, and my neighbor was sitting in a chair, and I said, and he was looking tired, but he was home. So I sympathized with Pastor Haynes and his wife. My neighbor explained that he had been out on a nice Sunday afternoon, driving along the road from Letchworth, heading back home, and a car rolled through a stop sign. Not just speed through, just rolled through. They had looked, but weren't careful. And we all realize that nowadays we sometimes are not as careful as we ought to be. Hit the car on the driver's side, right in where the front door hinges are. My neighbor, as near as I can figure, probably hit the window or the post. When I saw my neighbor, he had his head shaved. He was cut from here to here. He had had blood clots between his brain and the skull, and they had to open it up and to drain his head. And he was pretty touch and go for several days. He lost, temporarily they hope, lost his hearing in the left ear. But my neighbor was, after stopping in, he was in good spirits. The man that hit him was out with his family, Christian family from over towards Cancerega. Felt horrible. He checked his family and his kids, and everybody was all right. Got out, and my neighbor wasn't even conscious at that point. He was unconscious. And he basically, all he ever remembers was the guy saying, are you all right? And he didn't remember anything else. The neighbor was extremely upset, obviously. He said it was all my fault. Not my neighbor, the man that hit him. And had been up to the hospital to see him several times, and it was all, I'm so sorry I did this. That's brotherly love. Even though it's a different denomination, it's still brotherly love. My neighbor was cheerful. After I was there for a while, having somebody to talk to, he perked up, and we talked about some different things. And anyways, then along comes this snowstorm. And I'm thinking, I generally plow for several of my neighbors. If they get bad snow, I'll go do it for them. But I've struggled all summer to have fuel to put in the machine. I'd buy a 5 gallon here and 4 gallon there if I had the money. Last week, I had gotten some money in enough so I could go buy fuel. I had fuel in the fuel tank. That's ahead of this storm. I had an animal out in the pasture that I found coming home Tuesday night, I think it was. I said, why is she out in the pasture? This snowstorm was coming in. And so I said, well, I'm going to have to walk out there. And I knew I was going to walk because it was going to be from our house to the 243. And it was heading towards dark. And I knew I couldn't drive there with a truck because I'd tried checking the pasture a few days before and got stuck. And I'm alone. I had to walk back to the barn, get a tractor, go out, pull a truck back a couple hundred yards. And it's a real joy. I wasn't counting it all a real good blessing, but it worked. The truck stayed in line. Well, anyways, so I knew I wasn't going to drive out to check on that cow. The pasture, I have dry ground, but the pastures are all punched up from this rain. It's not a fun walk. And I walked over and I got over to the cow by the main road, and I hate animals down by the road because you got public. And life is different for farms now because nobody's a farmer, nobody understands. And I've been there before. I got to check the cow, and what's wrong, why aren't you up? And I fussed with her to get her up, and I could see she didn't want to get up and she was ugly. My cows have horns, so I know you want to be a little careful. Well, she finally got up, and I could see she had problems with back leg or legs. And I wanted to try to move her to the barn. Nope, she was going to have no part of that, but she would have a part in going at me. And I tried it a few times very carefully, and I decided this is not going to work. This isn't safe. So I walked back to the barn, got a skid steer, and came back out. And, of course, now it's getting pretty well dark, and I'm over by the road, which I was glad for the darkness, because I hate trying to load an animal into a skid steer along the main road with people going by and thinking, you're a terrible person, you're hurting this cow. And you don't realize what farms live with nowadays. And she got up, finally, and I used the skid steer to kind of block her and to head her towards the barn, and we got about 100 yards. And she gave up. And I'm thinking, by now it's cold, and my hands are getting cold. I haven't gotten my gloves and my coat like I should have yet. I suppose none of you do that. But anyways, so she laid down, and I fussed around, and I had taken a chain out to try to retain her in the bucket. If I could get her in the bucket's not designed exactly right. So I got her turned around carefully so that I was kind of pushing uphill. Now things are greasy, so it doesn't work good. And you gotta watch the tip of the blade so you don't hurt the animal or cut anything. And I fussed around and I got her in where I thought I had her good enough, got out of the chain, got the chain around her and around thing, tied up a little bit, tried it, and it didn't work. She fell out. Now I didn't get her up very far, but I lost it. And about that time, I will tell you, I was, in all honesty, not counting anything joy. I was getting upset, and I was getting mad, and I said, God, why do you do this to me? You ever feel that way? The human side of me was getting the best of me, because I was getting upset. Why don't I have children around to help me? Why don't I have friends that I can have come and help me? Why is it? It's got to be cold. And I'm having to get this animal out of the pasture before 9 inches of snow comes. And I fussed and fussed, and of course I'm trying not to get hurt because she's not happy with me. And I finally got her chained in, and I finally got her lifted up. So now I'm starting to the barn, and I've got my hands up in my cuffs trying to run the machine because my hands are aching now. And the first gate that I tried was a little upgrade, and they'd been going through it, so it was muddy. Skid steer wouldn't go up it. And I was afraid if I did make it, I'd slide into posts, and then I'd have more headaches. So I went down to the next gate, and that one wasn't going to work either. So I went further down that laneway and was able to get through another gate and get across the barn and back up to the barn. And on the way, I'm thinking, now where do I put this animal? Because I got to be able to deal with this again. And I had different options, and finally I said, I'll just put it in the feed, free stall in the feed alley. She's got 40 feet there, I can carry water, which I did. And now I'm thinking, now what do I do with this animal? Any animal that can't walk off a truck is condemned. You lost everything right there. So now I got to figure out, if I call a vet, now I got a $100 vet bill, and I don't have any money or much, and I don't want to spend it that way, and I don't want to lose the animal. And I don't know what's wrong with this animal. I've had a cow before with rabies. So I'm being a little careful of what I do. I want to know what's wrong with this animal. I realize the back leg, but there could be other extenuating factors that caused it. Because I couldn't explain why she had what she did. And I'm going to have to wrap up here pretty quick. Anyways, I watched her for a couple days. And I said, I'm going to have to deal with this. Either I shoot the cow and bury it, or try to figure out. I called a couple processing plants. No, the cow can't walk off. We're an inspected plant. They won't do it. So, by the way, on the way back, I was thinking, you know, I've been needing meat. I didn't want to lose an animal this way, or couldn't sell animals from other problems. But here's a legitimate means that the only way I'm going to have salvages to process this animal myself, and the Lord's providing meat that I needed in a legitimate fashion. So, I thought of a man that I had helped in the spring. They were out, he and his son were out of work, and they wanted to know if they could cut some firewood up and sell some firewood. And I said, well, I had tops down for about 4 years. I said, I didn't know that I wanted to do that because of the liability risk. And finally I said, no, go ahead. It's just going to rot. I'll let you have it. Take it, cut it, see if you can make some money to live on. And he and his son came, and they were going to borrow a bulldozer to do it. And that didn't happen, and they were struggling at it. And finally I said, I'll come out with my tractor, and I'll help you with my labor and my machinery and my fuel. And I helped them, and I forget how many cord of wood. They probably got almost $1,000 to help themselves. And I expected nothing from them. They said if I need help, they would come and help me, or they would help come and split firewood for me. But I was able to get that done. They had had problems, got hurt. His son was actually, both of them, had had a history of having to be in jail. They were not horrible fellows. They suffered from the circumstances that they didn't entirely, I say entirely, have control of. But the opportunity in the woods gave me an opportunity to talk to them about the Lord. They kind of got into it that in jail, they'd had, a prison ministry, and they'd gotten, I don't know whether they were, it sounded a little like they truly knew the Lord. And I look at these things with a lot of caution. We're commanded to judge things, but judge it in the right way. And sadly to say, I had tried to get them to come to church, and they didn't. The son ended up back in jail because he wouldn't rat on a friend who was driving drunk. But he went to jail. He shouldn't have done it. He should have turned his friend in. Because if his friend's going to keep drinking, sooner or later, somebody else is going to get hurt or killed. The son had a habit of getting involved with drugs. And he got involved with drugs? Well, fentanyl. And he got some bad fentanyl. It was 10 times what it should have been. And it killed him. A 30-year-old man died this summer. And I went to the calling and for the... Anyways, the long and the short of it was, I called this fellow because his brother has a farm and they have a meat processing room. He said, sure, I'll come and help you. and we got the animal butchered. We still got to cut it up. But he said to me, he said, you know, I wished I could have got my son to come to church. I think he's a legitimate state. He's studying his Bible, but he's weak. He just could not give up the things that he was accustomed to. Bad friends were influencing. If he'd have come to church, he'd have had good friends to hold him accountable. His father now is suffering because every day he thinks of his son. I'm thankful all of our children are saved. They're setting a good example. Even the nephew that we're involved with is the same. But I know some of you struggle with children that are not doing exactly what you want. I understand that. I sympathize with you on that. And I've got to wrap this up. But I went out the other day and I plowed snow for all my neighbors, which I generally do because I had the fuel. And every one of my neighbors were really appreciative of the fact that I came and did their driveway. I do it. I don't ask anything of them. The neighbor that had the accident, I got there, started on it, and he got somebody to come. So I let them finish, and I went to the next neighbor, which I don't generally do, plowed their driveway out. And he waved out of the window, thank you. And they called me and told me how much they appreciated. That is my testimony to my neighbors that I care. These are things that each and every one of you, maybe you do in some way or another when a neighbor is having a hard time. I wish that they would listen, because I've witnessed to them, wish they would listen and give in. Time's running out. Count it all joy. That was an opportunity to share what the Lord has blessed me with to help my neighbors. I will end up with meat that I hadn't anticipated how. Yeah, it was a loss, but it didn't end up a total loss. So that's a blessing. You know, the expression, the Lord works in mysterious ways? Well, that's true. I never wished or wanted what I've lived with the last 25 years. It's been horrible. I've lost a tremendous amount of money. And I never figured the true cost of it until the beginning of this year. And I'm not sure that was a smart thing to do. Because I calculated the pounds of milk that I had lost over the years from all the animals that had been lost in the first year and subsequent 7 years because of this electric problem. I would have liked that $6 million. My life would have been easier, but I'm not sure that I would have been as good a Christian as I like to think I am, and I'll use that way because the Bible says your heart is desperately wicked, who can know it? So, I like to think I'm good, but probably not. Each one of you go through something in your life. It's not fun. But there's a church, count it all joy. And another verse that I looked up, when you fall into diverse temptations, God doesn't give us hard times. And I emphasize that. He doesn't purposely give it to you for hard times as a Christian. He allows it to happen. Satan wants it, but God allows it. It's how do we deal with it? Okay, I want to close with prayer. Okay? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we have for Sunday school. We pray that you'll be with Dale as he speaks this afternoon. And that most importantly, Lord, what happens here today will bring honor and glory to you. We thank you for each one that's here. In Jesus' name, amen.